true repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the churches ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the Word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're just so honored to have you connecting with us, and we're so thankful that we get a chance to come every single day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m., on the Gulf Coast for our viewers and even around the world. Today we're going to be talking about something so important. You think about it. The Creator of the universe sent his Son to communicate who he is to us, his Son Jesus Christ, right? And Jesus tells us, he tells us, he says, I didn't do anything or say anything unless I heard my Father say it or saw him do it. So he's communicating the Father to us. And he tells us very specifically, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations. I mean, think about that. We're called by the Creator of the universe to disciple nations. And if we're going to reach nations, it makes me think about Bill Bright and the understanding. And it also makes me think about, you know, Dr. Miles Monroe. We're going to be talking about that today. But first, let's just go and figure out, you know, what does it take to be able to reach a nation? Watch this.
It was August 1975, and the Lord had given me that day a list of things that I had never thought about before. He said, this is the way to reach America and nations for God.
In every city of the world, an unseen battle rages for dominion over God's creation and the souls of people. This battle is fought on seven strategic fronts, looming like mountains over the culture to shape and influence its destiny. Over the years, the church slowly retreated from its place of influence on these mountains, leaving a void now filled with darkness. When we lose our influence, we lose the culture. And when we lose the culture, we fail to advance the kingdom of God. And now, a generation stands in desperate need. It's time to fight for them and take back these mountains of influence. The mountain of government, where evil is either restrained or endorsed, the mountain of education, where truths or lies about God and His creation are taught. The mountain of media, where information is interpreted through the lens of good or evil. The mountain of arts and entertainment, where values and virtue are celebrated or distorted. The mountain of religion, where people worship God in spirit and truth or settle for a religious ritual. The mountain of family, where either the blessing or a curse is passed on to successive generations. And the one mountain they all depend on, the mountain that fuels and funds all the other mountains, the mountain of business, where people build for the glory of God or the glory of man, where resources are consecrated for the kingdom of God or captured for the powers of darkness. Those who lead this mountain control what influences our culture. The last 50 years, we've seen the most rapid moral decline in history. The culture we inherited from our forefathers is disintegrating before our eyes. What kind of world are we leaving for our children and grandchildren? As long as the business mountain is held by enemies of the gospel, funding for the other mountains will always be constrained, and any efforts to advance the kingdom of God will be hindered. Imagine God's people reclaiming their cities and government, in the arts and entertainment, in the media, in education, in the family, in religious influence, but only limited by their imagination and not by a lack of finances. It's possible, but first, we must take back the mountain of business. God's move to take this mountain back has already begun. Thousands and thousands of business leaders in every major city across the nation are filling arenas to learn from business leaders and hear the gospel of Christ. 90% of people working in the marketplace believe in God. 78% believe spirituality and business mix. 70% say that because of their faith.
So you're looking at, when you're looking at these seven mountains, when you think about these seven spheres of culture, so important. I mean, it is so important for us to focus on it. It makes me think about before, you know, Dr. Miles Monroe passed to be with the Lord, he addressed government. He came before the parliament in the Bahamas and he spoke. They gathered together once a year and had a chance to speak over government. The days that our leaders, I mean, you think about this, as some of the statements that you're going to be hearing today is like, you know, we don't need more politicians in leadership. We need more leadership in politicians and things we're going to have to begin to understand. So you know what? You know, as the church, as people that are called by God to disciple nations, that we should be speaking over each of these areas. But today we're going to focus on government. I mean, I hear people quite often, and I've been guilty of it myself, just like complaining about things. But are we doing anything about it? Are we calling up our leaders and praying for our leaders and asking how that we can be there for them? And you think about Romans chapter 13. He talks about it when Paul's writing to the church of Rome. And he's speaking about, you know, authority, and he talks about how it's all established by God, and they're His servants, and they're there to deal with the wrongdoer, not with the good doer. And he says to we submit to government because of a conscious thing. It's actually a conscious thing that we do, you know. And he tells us very specifically that, you know, for your conscience' sake, do this. And so, when you talk about authority, you talk about government, and you talk about, you know, people, but you talk about Christians, that God, it's our conscience. This is why we do this. And so then we have a conscientious objector to where things are going. In other words, you're asking me to do things that violate my conscience when my spirit man's going, this is not what God would want us to do. This is against what God wants to do. That's what our whole system in America has been set up that way. And even you think about the Quakers, I believe it was, that began when the nation began. They actually had conscientious objectors, they called them, in regards to going to war, because they didn't believe that you should be able to take another man's life. So we honor that in America, and we still honor that in America, that understanding our conscience is so important. And we're just settling today. We're settling for things that totally violate our values, that violate what God says, and we're not even saying anything about it, like we have no input. But yet God's called us to be able to disciple nations. And as a matter of fact, it makes me think about when Dr. Miles Monroe was addressing the parliament. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is just a, you know, what's happening when he addressed the parliament. Take a look at this.
So service was historic as Dr. Miles Monroe addressed parliamentarians on government and national leadership at their annual service at Trinity Methodist Church.
Think about this, that, you know, here is a minister, you know, a citizen of the Bahamas, respected. But they gathered the leaders together, the people, the legislators. For us, it would say they gathered Congress together, and the president, they all came together. They just got elected into office, and he's going to speak over them. And that's what we're going to focus on today. What did Dr. Miles Monroe say, and what did the governmental leaders, the parliament, that's the governmental leaders in the Bahamas, you know, what did they come to hear? And also, these words are so powerful because this is what we need to do in America. This is how we need to, if we want to be able to survive, if we want to last as a nation, we've got to begin to think about how do you disciple, how do you go into the nation, the mountain of government, and be light? How do you do that? And Dr. Miles Monroe did an excellent job at doing that. And as a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this, and we'll kind of set the pace for it. This is Dr. Miles Monroe.
No law in our country should violate, first of all, natural law that God gave us in creation, and then divine law that God gave us in His Word. That means when you debate any law in Parliament and in that house that we sent you to, make sure there's the law discussion book, the paper, the white paper, and put the Bible next to you and say, let me just check to make sure that any laws we discuss doesn't violate the laws of God.
That's so important. He's talking to the people who are going to make laws. I mean, how many times in America we've got laws being made continually, but are we saying as Christians saying, you know, whether people take that advice or not, if we don't say it, how are they going to even be able to know that you can do that? And yeah, you can have your books, you can have your papers, but before you make this decision, you know, pull the Bible out, find out if you're going to make laws that are contrary to what God says, you know, and whether you're going to do it or not, at least you know what you're doing instead of, you know, making a law that's actually in the face of God. And I thought it was so powerful for Dr. Monroe to begin to say, so, you know, you're going to be making some laws, but you need to not only have all this other paperwork there, but you need to have the Bible there to make sure that you're not making laws that are contrary to God's word. Take a look at this next advice. He's speaking to the government mountain. This is great for us to be encouraged to do the very same thing. Take a look.
Citizens around the world demand rights from their governments. However, Dr. Monroe explained that politicians must be responsible about how citizens' rights are handled. He gave this example.
Not all rights are right. Because someone demands a right doesn't mean the right they demand is right. Make sure the right is lined up with the righteousness of God's word before you agree with that right. In Colorado, which I went to visit just a few weeks ago, they passed a law. People wanted the right to smoke marijuana. The next 2 days when the law went into effect, a report came out that the emergency rooms of the hospitals were jammed with young people overdosing and some even at the age of death. And now the medical profession is demanding the government to reconsider the right to smoke marijuana freely above the age of 21. In other words, because you want a right as a citizen doesn't mean it's right for all that God wants.
That's such a now word. I mean, you know, for us to hear that, you know, and where are we as a church? Are we speaking these things? I was just speaking to Brett and Sharon Holderbaum, you know, from Colorado, where we're talking about this very issue, about how the legalization of marijuana is taking place, how it changed the culture, how people began to actually move to Colorado so that they actually could be involved in this particular trade, how they're talking about using drugs now to be able to fund the school system. So for every joint you buy, I guess they have a new joint in the school. And it's crazy things that's going on. It's like, we got to begin to check out, you know, why are we doing? And then all of a sudden the overdose and these things are taking place. This is really great advice because he's called us disciple nations. As you heard Bill Bright talk about the seven spheres, seven mountains, and one of those mountains is government. And we're going to continue looking at what Dr. Miles Monroe said to the government because we can learn so much and maybe apply that ourselves. See you after the break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
December 25th is a holy day, deeply spiritual for many of us. And the Christmas season is an excellent time to remember the historical facts about Jesus Christ. Here's writer and speaker Sean McDowell.
Whether or not Jesus lived, there are very few, if any, legitimate scholars who will doubt that. Do you know, within 150 years of the life of Jesus, we have 42 sources that mention him, 9 secular sources. Now, Tiberius Caesar, who's the most powerful man, humanly speaking, or the Caesar during that time, there's 10. So there's 4 times as many for the historical Jesus as any other ancient figure. Now, if you put this in perspective, Jesus had no money. He had no political power. He didn't write any books. And we have this wealth of documentation saying the historical Jesus lived.
To learn more about Jesus Christ, stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com/faith.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I love, John, when Dr. Miles Monroe was saying, you know, not all rights are right. I mean, it's almost to the point now, you know, everything that anybody wants to say is right, once they get enough people to say it's right, they believe it's right.
Right.
And they begin to live their life like it's right. And the sad thing about it is, it could be wrong. And if you find out it's wrong when you stand before the throne of God, I mean, think about that. When you stand before the throne of God, think about that.
And yet they demanded it.
It's a terrible thing to be able to find out at the throne of God that it was wrong, but you were, as a matter of fact, one of the signs of the last days will be able, everything that's wrong, they'll be calling right, and things that are right, they'll be calling wrong. I mean, we've got to be able to find out, you know, what does God call right in that? And I love that he says, so not all rights are right. And then he said, because someone demands a right doesn't mean it's right. And today we got people just demanding all kinds of rights, as we were just talking about in Colorado with, you know, the marijuana, and they're talking about, you know, the justification is, you know, we got money now. And I don't have this story up for you, and I wanted to share it with you, but I was really amazed when I found out that in Washington, D.C., a local government principality there were getting hurting on funds, so they opened up their own marijuana store. It's like the city council. They did, in Washington, D.C. I'm just thinking.
Really?
We got to go apologize for everybody that ever got put in jail for.
Yeah.
Is that right or wrong? It's like, there's something about the government opening up a marijuana store in Washington, D.C.
doesn't fit there, okay?
Doesn't fit there. But, you know, and so, and then he says, you know, make sure that the right is lined up with the righteousness of God before you. And he's talking to legislators. And just so we understand, because we just don't hear it talked about much, because it seems like every branch of government is making laws. But the legislator branch is the one that's supposed to legislate laws. That is the people's government that represents you and me, and they decide whether it's going to be a law or not. So he's
Congress.
Saying, yeah, Congress. And in that, why not tell your senator? Why not tell your congressperson and say, you know, I'm so glad that you're actually reading the bill before you pass the bill.
Yeah, hello.
You know, that's a great concept.
That's a good start.
And not only start reading the bills, but also check out and find out what God has to say about that before you do it. And then pray about it, you know, and then, you know, make that decision on it. And he's saying, have your books, have your papers out, but also have the Bible out when you're making these laws over the land. Can you imagine? It makes me think about Roe versus Wade, where that law was made. And they used
one law.
They used the lady who
Norma McCorvey,
who didn't even have an abortion, but that law was just, they were trying to find a way to be able to make that law. And it's so important, that kind of wisdom. And we're called to make disciples of nations, so we need to have input into that, whether people take it or not. And I thought it was excellent how he did it. Let's take a look at 458.
This year, various pieces of legislation will be put forward. Monroe stated that he will oppose any piece of legislation that is not in line with God's laws.
Submission to government is a matter of conscience and awareness of God's natural and spiritual laws. I promise you, each one of you now, that if I believe you create a law in my country, or even debate one that goes against the laws of God that I understand and my conscience, I will be in Bay Street against you publicly. I promise you that. I must say that first I will talk to you privately. I'll give you a chance. But if you do not hear me, I will tell the world, because you should never violate.
You think about it. You know, this is the chance to be able to speak in the government instead of waiting and then they didn't hear from you.
Right.
And then you're going to talk in the streets about your representative that you never, they don't even know you exist or didn't even know that you,
absolutely,
what's God's counsel over the whole situation. And, but he's just coming right out and saying, he said, listen, if you oppose God's law, you know, then I'm going to openly have to tell you, I don't stand for that. I'm sorry.
Right.
I don't stand for that. It's not going to happen. And he said, first, though, I'm going to go to you alone and talk to you, you know, privately. And if that doesn't work, but you think about, he said, it's conscience. This is so important because you think about Romans chapter 13, you know, where he talks about, you know, authority, and it specifically says, let everyone submit to himself to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists was established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has established, and those who do so will suffer judgment for themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do not suppose they bear the sword for nothing. And so the purpose of authority is to deal with the wrongdoer, not to oppress people, not to find a good doer, somebody who's doing good in their business, good in their life, good in their relationships, good with education. Government has no place in that. They're there to deal with the wrongdoer.
Sure. Peacemakers, right?
Yeah, they're peacemakers. But in Scripture, and he says, this is a conscious thing. He comes out specifically in Scripture when he's writing about it here. You know, Paul's writing about it, and he says, therefore, it is necessary to submit to authority, not only because of punishment, possible punishment, but also it's a matter of conscience. So when laws are being passed, when you have, you know, law versus morality and these things are happening, Dr. Miles Monroe was saying, I can't go that way. So I'll let you know right now, if you pass that law, if you don't put the Bible beside you when you make that decision, I can't openly support that,
sure,
you know, and I just want to let you know now before that happens at that particular point. So he's beginning, he's discipling that aspect of the nation of the Bahamas. He's saying, listen, if we want it to be blessed, and listen, this is not a choir he's preaching to. This is the parliament. This is the government who came to hear this wisdom. And there's leaders in America right now that would love to hear this kind of wisdom and know that we actually stand up by these words and these kind of commitments. And I thought it was just powerful, you know, and we're going to hear from them, as a matter of fact, before this whole thing is up. But then he begins to explain the role of government. And this is really, really important. It's kind of what I was kind of alluding to. But look at 459.
And now the medical profession is demanding the government to reconsider the right to smoke marijuana freely above the age of 21. In other words, because you want a right as a citizen doesn't mean it's right for all that God wants.
This year, various pieces of legislation will be put forward. Monroe stated that he will oppose any piece of legislation that is not in line with God's laws.
Submission to government is a matter of conscience and awareness of God's natural and spiritual laws. I promise you, each one of you now, that if I believe you create a law in my country or even debate one that goes against the laws of God that I understand and my conscience, I will be in Bay Street against you publicly. I promise you that. I must say that first I will talk to you privately. I'll give you a chance. But if you do not hear me, I will tell the world, because you should never violate conscience.
Dr. Monroe explained the role of parliamentarians in the nation.
And my great leaders in the Senate and the House of my great country, that you are ordained by God, yes, but to apply justice for the people. You are ordained by God, yes, but to be a terror to evil works. You are ordained by God, yes, but not to punish people who are doing good. In other words, a special nation cannot endure long when criminals have an advantage over the law-abiding citizens. Higher powers qualify as ministers of God by merit of works. Not because God called you means he's going to stay with you if you start disobeying his.
He said, God's with you in the beginning, but it doesn't mean he's going to stay with you. And that's very important. You know, what you begin in the spirit, are you going to finish it up in the flesh?
That's right.
But think about this. These are governmental leaders who are going to be making decisions, voting on laws, standing up for things. And
speaking into that their hearts, into their lives, and they came to listen to it.
Yeah, and giving them perspective. How important is it to have that type of perspective before you begin to start making legislation that's going to affect an entire nation?
Yes, yes. And you know, just thinking higher about, you know, what, you know, let's get a vision for what's going on and explaining how government should work in the context of it and reminding that that, you know, in America, for example, it's a government by the people and for the people. It's a representative government that that our representatives go there on behalf of us to respond off what we're wanting them to do. So if we don't have any input at all and all we do is criticize, you know, it's almost like, you know, we create the problem, then we complain about the problem that we create, and we never did go in to make disciples of that aspect of, which is followers of, you know, Christ and follower of God's way. And after this break, we're going to talk more about that, but just begin to think about that. Begin to say, you know what? I can see a dawn of a new age in America where once again, you know, we will be that city on a hill, that we will begin to say, you know what? We can't just keep complaining about government. We need to have input into what's going on. And not only do we want them to read the bills and before they pass it to make a law, but we want them to actually read the Word of God. I think about Congressman Jeff Miller and other congressmen that go to this particular room. I forget the number of the room, 912 or something of that nature. And they pray, they vote, and then they pray. There are legislators, and we heard earlier too about Jonathan Kahn a couple days ago in Capitol Hill. You know, prayer started again. And it's time for us as a church to realize that is, this is not something that we watch. It's something that we participate in. And the Lord has called us to be able to make disciples of nations. And as Bill Bright was saying, one of those spheres that we're going to have to impact and bring light into is government. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham, this reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org. iabide.org and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about, you know, when God's called us to make disciples of nations and to be able to do that, there's like seven spheres that we talked about. And one of those spheres or mountains is the government mountain. And we're watching, you know, historically what Dr. Miles Monroe did when he was speaking to the government in the Bahamas. And it's like, man, we need that day again. We need that day again. Imagine impacting government. Imagine impacting the government with hope. I mean, a visionless country. I mean, right now there needs to, what people say, we need a leader, we need this, we need that. And it's like, you know, the thing is what we need is vision. We need a God vision again for our nation. What was God's original intent for our nation? And when you look back at our founding fathers and some of the founding documents and what was said, is like, this is one nation under God. It's the purpose is to bring liberty and justice for all and these different aspects of it. But I love as he was admonishing here, Dr. Miles Monroe, in the very same meeting with the leaders, the governmental leaders, they just got elected. Think about it. They just got elected and they're about to go into their offices for the first time. They're going to begin to make laws. And he's speaking, he's bringing light into that moment of time. And here he's admonishing the leaders to be able to get a vision and understand, you know, what is true leadership? Because politics, you know, people think the word politics means leader, but it doesn't mean leader. Leader means leader. And, you know, America needs leadership in every aspect that you could think about. But listen what he said to the leaders there and the government in the Bahamas. Watch this.
He concluded by admonishing parliamentarians to take nation building to a higher level.
Politicians think about protecting their seat. Leaders protect the unborn. Politicians focus on power. Leaders focus on empowering. Leadership provides vision and energy for people, motivation. I trust that you will hold steady and ask God to give you a renewed national vision for our nation. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. I challenge all parliamentarians and senators today, find a purpose more important than power. Find a national vision that is bigger than your political party. Find convictions more important than compromise. Find values that are more important than vacillation. Find passion more important than popularity. Find a faith that is more important than the facts. May God bless you with wisdom and humility and patience and the spirit of servitude as you lead our nation. Take us from where we are to where God wants us to be. We trust you. We believe in you. That's why we voted for you. We believe that you can take us where God wants us.
That is so important because, wow, you know, it seems like immediately some sort of adversarial mindset that starts coming in versus, hey, you just got elected. So that's obviously right. The majority of people are in agreement with you. Please, you know, take this wisdom. It's not time to be political. It's time to be a leader. Like they says, you know, we don't need more politics and leadership. We need more leadership in politics. I mean, you think about it.
Amen,
that.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, you would. Because our assumption is, you know, if you got elected, you know how to lead.
Right.
That's called an assumption. So, yeah. but two, that if someone got elected and they need help in leadership because they're called to lead something, but they're not called to do it all. They're called to lead. So maybe coming around that particular leader and helping them and him or her in their responsibility, a team, you know, a cabinet, if you would, to be able to help them out. And how powerful would that be? To have Christians who love God and love the country and, you know, and stand with Israel, to be there to stand with them in the leadership. And but he's confronting them, you know, how important it is to not vacillate with your leadership, to have a vision. You know, what is your vision? We ask, you know, questions, you know, when we're talking to folks, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you want it? You'd be surprised the answer. People like, I just thought, you know, it'd be good. To what? To lead, you know, and or, you know, what are your plans? You know, when I get there, I'll be able to tell you about more, you know, about, you know, what my plan is like. You don't have a vision yet, right?
Not yet, huh?
Right, okay. Right. I don't have to worry about it anyway because I don't have to read it until I pass it. Then I'll pass it, then I'll read it. And if it's representative government, maybe, you know, you can come alongside or we can come alongside the governmental leaders and say, I'll help you read it. You know, we'll break this thing up. Sure. We'll all read it. We'll come together. And no matter how big it is, we can definitely read this, mm-hmm. you know, and find out what it says and get advice on it. But imagine that. Imagine, John, if leaders are coming together, you know, and I hear, you know, hear a lot of people talk, you know, critically about leaders, but you don't see them
helping.
They can't even lead their way out of a paper bag. You know, they're not helping out with leadership. They're just criticizing leadership. And we're not called to criticize leadership. We're called to actually connect with it in our conscience before God to be able to. It's a process of leading.
And pray for them. The Bible tells us we pray for our leaders. Yeah. It will go well for us. We spend all this time criticizing. This is not going to be good.
Yeah. And,
for the nation, for the for the citizens, or for yourself.
Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of people are going to be shocked when this thing balances out and that we find out that America is a unique country in the fact that it was established as a government by and for the people. So the people in Washington, D.C. are not the leaders of America. The leaders of America are our neighbors. It's a government citizens. By and for the people. And the government is established to help you in your leadership of this country. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see billions of dollars being spent and people riding in vans and buses all over the country to come see you, because they're trying to get your okay to see if you'll hire them for next 6 years, two years, 4 years, depending on how long their term is. And they're asking for your vote, for will you hire me? Because you're the one who's leading. You're the leader. It's a government by the people and for the people. And when they finish their term, what happens? They leave and they ask the next person, ask you, will you let me leave?
Yeah.
And so other than just, you know, having some sort of coffee shop talk with a candidate that passes by at 90 miles an hour and not talking to anybody again for 4 years, you know, having some sort of dialogue, you know, in the beginning. And we get back from this break in a moment. You're going to see how powerfully, as a matter of fact, we have time for now, just not just talking or criticizing, but praying for them, but getting a burden for leadership. When you think about a good way to get a burden for leadership, I feel, is to imagine you're the one having to do it. That every day you got to go there and listen as a county commissioner, as a city councilman, as a mayor, as a governor, as a state or, you know, a legislator branch, to be able to pass laws, you know, and it's like the 17th stop sign bill that was passed. It's the, 4,000th call that came in, the 6,000 emails that are coming in, you know, and you got your family and you have there's a lot of heaviness on that. I think about, you know, some of the biggest employers in most counties and cities are the school systems. And you think about these superintendents that are managing all these teachers and the care of these stringent expectations that the government's placed over anybody that's working with children. It's amazing. Yeah. And that they're carrying all these different loads. And it's like, what are we doing to help them? And are we praying for them? And after, you know, Dr. Miles Monroe spoke to these brand new governmental leaders that were coming into office, he actually had an altar call, if you would. He just called them forward, and because he wanted to pray for them. But notice that when you see Dr. Monroe speaking to them, you see him quake with the pain and the heaviness of knowing what they're going to have to do, how hard it is to lead. That it's a hard thing to lead. That's why very few people do it. And that's why a lot of people criticize it. And the thing is, but to do it, I mean, it is a hard thing to do. Yeah. And then to try to do it in a way that you're wanting to lead because you want people to do well, you want them to do better, and you're balancing all these things. And so he actually called them up.
Wow.
And a lot of them came forward. But you watch him, just the burden that he's bearing for the leaders. He's truly making disciples in the government mountain. Take a look at this.
Later in the service, Dr. Monroe invited the leaders to rededicate themselves to national service.
We can't do this by ourselves. Running a country is tough. Minister of Tourism, we prayed together privately. Brother Pinder, you know what your mother taught you? I weep over you. Because it's tough. Let's hold hands together.
I weep over you.
Wow.
You see, when you're a leader of the people, you're going to have people come to you who are kind and polite, and they're going to want things that you agree with. And you're going to have other people come to you. They may be kind and polite, but they're going to want you to do something totally opposite what you don't agree with. And the first person was easy to handle, but the second one was difficult. And now you're caught between two opinions. And if you don't know who you are, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a guiding principle, if you don't know who you are in God, there's no telling what's going to happen at that point. And then on top of that, now you're going to have people threatening, you know, your livelihood. You know, I think the worst thing that could have ever happened where we made, you know, political leadership some sort of permanent employment, because right. then people start fighting for their job instead of fighting for you. But then they start thinking about, you know, and they did commit themselves to a job for leadership for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And they are getting paid and they're having to eat with that money and they're having to do all these different things. They took on this huge role of leadership. And it's like, do we even have a burden like Dr. Monroe did for those in authority? Do we have that burden? Do we even know them by name? Do they know that we care, or do we just want something from them? And he called them together. He not only told them the truth, he not only shared with them the truth and his expectations of how he would respond, so he was up front, but he said, I'd be there with you, and I carry, and he even knew a few, even by name, by name. We got to begin to stand. God has called us not to complain about government, but he's called us to go in to make disciples in government, to make impact in government, to be able to bring light and truth and hope, and you just kind of find the church. You find believers, Christians, standing out. There's not a lot of light in the context of that, which means if we don't like the direction it's going, if we listen to the Lord and say, you know, he said, go and make disciples of nations. How do you do that? One way you do that is through government. And we get back from this break, you're going to be so blessed, because you're going to say, okay, I'm sure all these leaders are just, you know, got to just check this box off and get out of here, that they didn't really want to hear that. This is just some preacher, some minister carrying on. You're going to be really surprised when you're going to hear the interviews with these leaders, even a Canadian leader that was there, and what he said about Canadians' leadership in government. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here I am, Pat.
Looking all sweet and innocent.
I'm out there by the pool.
Jersey, and
I'm watching the children enjoy themselves swimming. I mean, beautiful day. They have floats in there, and they're throwing the ball. And then I'm enjoying, like, the children are having fun. And I get a chance to rest and fellowship with family, and just the church just gathering. I mean, just beautiful. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get hijacked.
Hijacked, he says.
I get lifted off. I mean, just right out of my feet. I mean, if you could see this.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just lifted up, and I turn
what
around.
What happened, man?
I turn around, and Steve, Pat, Steve.
Uh-huh. Mr. Innocence.
Mr. Innocent is lifting me up, and he is.
Off the ground.
Off the ground. All of a sudden, then, as soon as he. Everyone starts coming. See,
no, I want to say that. I mean, there was full family support.
From what I
remember, I believe there was a crowd being like, I got his keys. I got his wallet. I got his phone. Now, I know John very, very strategically just kind of jumps in the middle of the story. So we'll rewind a little bit because if my memory serves me correctly, I believe we were enjoying some apple pie sitting on the couch and John says, hey, I'm going to throw you in the pool.
So I would say
if
that.
You
I
get outside,
that.
You got to watch out for yourself because you're going to get thrown in the pool.
I
so
don't
I was like, okay,
that.
Great.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I think we have a picture of that whole situation. I'm sure
you were listening, huh?
Well, I heard the last bit. I was concerned about it. They're going to break them.
I got work to do.
Yeah, I saw a picture of the assistant chief of police in Pensacola, Florida on roller skates.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I'm like,
we need you, man. We need you.
Be careful. We got a lot of things we're going to do here, and we're just getting started. I don't think wheels are meant to be on the bottom of it. But he was doing good. I mean, it was amazing. You did a good job. You did a good job there, Chief Alexander. Well, you think about the government and coming together like Dr. Monroe did, and this is so powerfully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your immediate response was, well, they aren't listening, or they're just going to, you know, because there's so many meetings you have to go to as a leader anyway, because right. you've got to go to the different folks. But they listen. This is an annual meeting they have, and they come together as newly elected leaders. And I want you to hear every single one of these, because they spent that time listening to what Dr. Miles Monroe said about, listen, when you start making laws, you know, have your books, have your papers, but also have the Bible. You know, get past politics and get a vision. Don't be vacillating. Understand where you're going to go to. I know it's difficult what you're going to do, but if you go this way against the ways of God, I'm going to meet with you alone. But I have to tell you, I have no choice, because I'm loyal to the Lord, and that he would stand up for it. And it was amazing. And watch how they responded. Not only did they come forward and say, yeah, we want prayer. We understand now the heavy burden of leadership. And we do want God's blessing on us to be able to take this nation and raise the vision up to a higher level. Because the Word of God says, you know, without vision, people perish. And so you got to have vision. Imagine visionless leadership. Hmm. You know, think about it. That's some of the things that are happening right now in America. It's like, does anybody have a vision, you know, for our country? One that and vision is about, he talks about in Habakkuk 2, 2 through 3. It's a vision that people can connect to. I mean, if you're the only one connecting to it, you're not a leader. You're just merely taking a walk, as E.V. Hill used to say. But it's got to be a vision that people, you know, can connect to and can walk. But watch this. This is an interview now with all the ones that you saw, freshly elected government leaders that, you know, Dr. Miles Monroe was speaking over them and blessing them and giving them insight and saying, I'm going to be here with you and for you, and we can have a better nation when you take this thing and lead it in a better way, and listen to their interviews and their comments, even all the way to Canada. Watch this.
Parliamentarians told us that Dr. Monroe's message was powerful and had a great impact on leaders.
I think today's service was particularly touching in speaking to especially the message that we received from Pastor Monroe and his words of encouragement and a reminder of what really underpins governance, righteousness and justice, and that righteousness must be an alignment with God's will. It was also touching at the end when he called parliamentarians together and gave just a special prayer, blessing and anointing.
It kind of brought us to a place of understanding where we are, but also recognizing the weight of responsibility that parliamentarians have in leading our country. I think we were challenged, we were inspired, but most of all, we took from it the fact that unless we govern with righteousness and justice, and our laws are adhere to those principles, we're going to have a difficult road ahead.
I was so moved by the message of Pastor Miles that I actually secured a hard copy of this, because I see it really as God's word, God's message for leadership. One of the things I took away from it, a line in his sermon today, is not that we need more politicians in leadership. We need more leadership in politicians. And the leadership of which he spoke were the laws regulated and governed by God. And so for me, that was the most uplifting thing. I think if more of us apply this message to our everyday lives and executing our duties as leaders in this country, we'll have a much better country.
Here's what BFM members had to say about the historic day.
I am so glad that I made this effort to be here today. The service was simply awesome. The word was powerful.
I asked Pastor Miles when he came out if he went to heaven last night. The message was so on time and heavenly.
We need this in Canada. We've been coming to the Bahamas under Dr. Monroe's teaching for the last several years. And our Canadian Parliament needs to hear this government's message and the charge today. We pray this for Canada's.
For me, I think this was probably a very historic moment in the Bahamas. It was probably a transitional point for not only the leaders, but for our nation.
It is so awesome and amazing when someone like Dr. Miles, with his vast knowledge and his close walk with God, who is going all over the world, preaching and teaching and ministering and advising other governments to have an opportunity to do it right here. And you can see his passion. You can see how it touched him and moved him. And so I think it was, for me as a Bahamian, I was exceptionally proud to be here.
It's timely. I see a shifting
in the atmosphere, a change has taken place in this nation as a result of that charge. Parliamentarians will honor that, and trust God, this nation will be a nation that will be the envy of the world.
I mean, think about it. He called them as leaders. You know, what is our call as a leader? What would your call be as a governmental leader? It's to righteousness and justice. I mean, think about it. And they took it. They took the mantle. They took the baton. They said, they came out and they said, I got it. I mean, think about it. You've come through a campaign. You did everything that, you know, you're run ragged. You've talked to so many people, and your brain's just probably fried at that point of trying to get your thoughts together. And to be able to come together at a moment like that and be reminded about what leaders do, and be reminded about the vision for your nation, and be reminded about the vision for your state, and that it's about righteousness and it's about justice. I mean, you think about how powerful that is. And the one man just nailed it. And he says, it's about righteousness and justice and how you lead. And if you choose not to go that route, this is what he said, that it's going to be a difficult road ahead. And right now in America, we're in the middle of a very difficult road, a very difficult road. And in the near future, it's going to get more difficult in the road ahead. But you know what? Have we been doing what Dr. Miles Monroe has done? Have we gone in to the nations to make disciples? Have we gone into government and said anything other than just complaining or trying to get our cousin in or somebody that we know is like, it's the right person to lead? I mean, who is the person who's going to lead in righteousness and justice? And if we don't put any investment into encouraging people to lead, then how can we complain about when unrighteous and unjust laws are passed and people are treated in those certain ways? And it's like, I'm starting to realize, you know, we need to get more involved in the context of encouraging our leaders and praying for them. And especially since we live in a country, it's a government by the people and for the people. And government is established to be able to assure the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not all of our rights come from God. And so it's not wrong for us to take the very exact same message that Dr. Miles Monroe, and we'll make this available to you on the VFN Torch, and deliver the very same message, because we too are a democracy. We are a government by the people and for the people, that we are. Our documents say, and our founding fathers declared, that we're a nation whose rights come from God. So it's not wrong for you to have a Bible beside you when you're actually determining. It's not wrong to tell your secretary to say, help me, remind me, when we see unrighteous laws coming our way, that we cannot take those stands. We need to stand for righteousness and justice, because when I do that, it'll be a good road ahead for our nation. But if I don't do that, even if I suffer my political office, if I can't, they throw me out of my office, at least it's going to be a good road ahead for our nation. Be more concerned about the road for our nation and the people than you are about your political future. When we do that, things will just rapidly change. I just want to pray for you and our government. I want to pray for us as the people. Father God, I just ask you right now, Lord God, that you would just impart a grace upon us, Lord, in a special way, that we, like Dr. Miles Monroe did, that we can do the same thing, God, and encourage our leaders, God, and pray for them, Father God, and to begin to understand our Constitution and the obligation, that the expectation of leading in righteousness and justice. And we're seeing, you know, things done unjustly. We're seeing things that are not righteous. But the question to us, Lord, we know, is did we even try to make disciples in this mountain? Did we even go and bring the light into the mountain, Lord? And we just ask you to forgive us for not doing that, if we haven't done that, but ask us, anoint us, God, to be able to do it, to make a difference, God, and forgive us for being critical of leaders that we failed to support, to pray over, and to be a part of, and encouraging them to lead in a just and a righteous way. We ask that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
But a conversation, you'll be surprised. You have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up in his head. Gerbil. He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones who go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant. And it's a shocker, you know. See, right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge. It's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the Word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it. Is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation, and I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an something, or and something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you, or whatever, and just listen, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?